Turn with me, if you would, back to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. I just mentioned a dear brother to you who has been told by doctors that he has a limited time to live. And I have been thinking about him, and I've been praying for him and praying for his family. I have been very much thinking about him. And thinking on his situation led me to something that I'd like for us to consider tonight. And I mean really consider tonight. I pray that the Lord will really impress something on us tonight. Moses said, Moses is the one who wrote Psalm 90. And Moses said in verse 12, "Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Teach us to number our days. Our brother has been given a number. It's a range, but it's a number. Our Lord is the great physician. He's able to overrule no matter what man says. Our God is the God who gives. Our God is the one who kills and makes alive and wounds and heals. Our God is the God who gives, and our God is also the God who can take away. He's fully able to just take away. Only He truly knows the days of a man or a woman's life. Only He does. All of our days are in His hands. All of our days are in His hands. But if the diagnosis of our brother is in agreement with the Lord's providence concerning him, then he has been given a number of days that he has left on this earth. This thought goes through my mind. What would I do if I was given a number of days that I had left? What would I do? The lowest number on the range that has been given to our brother is 2 months. 2 months. 2 months. What if somebody told you that you had 2 months left on this earth? Really? I mean, really? 2 months. What would you do? What would you do? I talked to him yesterday. I talked to him on the phone yesterday, and he said the hospital in New York told him they felt 6 months to 2 years. And, he was such an encouragement to me. If you want to be encouraged, call him. He believes in the God of Scripture. He believes in the God of salvation, the God of eternal life. He said, "My days were appointed from the foundation of the world." They're still appointed. They hadn't changed. That day, whatever that day is, it was appointed long ago. It hadn't changed. But even if that number was 2 years, okay, on the upper side, they're saying if treatment goes well, 2 years. Even if the number was 2 years, what would you do with the next 2 years? What would you do? What if the number was 5 years? What would you do? 5 years, that's it, 5 years. I am 45 years and 7 months old. My mother was called home at 48 years and 1 month home. 2 years and 6 months difference. What if a doctor told me you have 2 years, a few months maybe left? That's it. 2 more years. That's it. What would I do? What if that absolute reality hit me? 2 more summers. What are y'all going to do this summer? 2 more summers, 2 more Christmases, 2 more anniversaries. What would I do? Don't you think, honestly, that that would make us want to get our priorities in order? Don't you think it would? If that were to happen to us, I pray that that would make us single in on our priority. That's what I pray would happen. Moses said in verse 12, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, teach us to apply our hearts to you. Teach us to apply our hearts, our affections, our desires, our... Teach us. A moment like that comes to a brother or a sister, and the Lord in that moment has just taught that brother or sister something. They've learned something. Teach us to apply our hearts to you. Now, here's what I want to say to all of us. I want all of us to know this. I want everybody here to know this. Every person here has a number. Every person here right now has a number. Every person here has an exact number of days left. We just haven't been told what they are. You know the difference in a person who is told that number and a person who's not told that number? The difference is the other person just hasn't been told what they are. Every person here has an exact number of days left on this earth. May God teach us to live life on this earth as though we had been told what they are. If I was told that I had 2 years and 6 months left at 52 weeks a year, he told us to number. He told us to do some calculations, and I did get my calculator out. At 52 weeks a year, 2 years and 6 months is 130 worship services, according to how we do things here. I would have 130 more worship services. And then I'm going to go meet God. And then I'm going to stand before the eternal judgment of God Almighty. May God teach me, honestly, to cherish each worship service. Wednesday night is not a throwaway service. It's not. There's no difference in Wednesday night or Sunday morning. There's no difference in Wednesday night or the Lord's table. Doesn't matter when you do the Lord's table. There's no difference in a conference or a... Honestly, we're about to go meet God. May God sincerely... I'm just talking about me, and I want this for you. I am talking about us because I want God to teach us this. I want us to be taught people. I mean taught people. But may God start with me and may it filter from there. May God teach me to cherish every worship service as though I was counting down how many I had left, how many opportunities I had left. May God give me a heart for Christ, and may God give me a heart to tell other people about Christ as though my opportunities to tell that person were counting down. This person that I love And I'm going to physically lay eyes on that person another 100 times, 20 times. Okay, I'm down to 3 times. This is my, I don't know it, but this is my last time. What do I want to tell them? There is one thing needful in this life. Christ. That's it. Christ. This is what I want us to really learn. I pray the Lord would apply this to us and teach us this. A man doesn't need work. A man doesn't need work. He needs Christ. A man doesn't need to save up for retirement. He needs Christ. A man does not need, I'm talking about need, health, wealth, or happiness. Our brother doesn't need health. He needs Christ. We need Christ. That's it. We need Christ. That's it. May God teach us to live our life on this earth and live every single day that we have here as though we had one need. One need. Christ. 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 It's going to take the Lord teaching us. We don't even want to learn that until He of His goodness and sovereign will says, learn it. May God do that for us. We can't do it for ourselves, but may God do that for us. Christ. If a man or a woman has Christ, he or she has a retirement. If a man and a woman has Christ, meaning a husband and wife, a believing husband and wife, if they both have Christ, they're never going to lose each other. They're never going to lose each other. They will be together with Him in the end. They're going to be separated for a moment. We're about to read here in just a moment where our Lord said, 1,000 years to God is as one day to us. In God's time, spiritually speaking, losing a believing spouse, if a man or a woman loses a believing spouse for 20 years here, that's like 20 minutes, spiritually speaking. If a man or a woman has Christ, he will have all the health, all the wealth, all the happiness that can be had. That can be had. If men and women have Christ, they have everything. Based on our brother's profession, he has everything. He has everything. May God teach all of us who have everything to apply our hearts to that. Everything, our all. May God teach all of us and give all of us a heart to say this with Moses. All right? Look with me, if you would, at verse 1. He said, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Lord, we live in You. You're our home. You are our home. You're our continuing city. You're our city which has foundations. You are, you have been, you will forever be the home of all your people from generation to generation. Every generation of God's people, every generation has experienced a life on this earth that's full of trouble and full of sin and full of sorrow and full of sickness. Every generation of God's people has experienced that and deliverance from sorrow, sin, sickness, trouble. Because of our deliverance on the cross, because of our deliverance on the cross of Calvary, we're going to experience a deliverance from all this. Because of our deliverance from the penalty and power of sin, we're going to experience a deliverance from the effects of sin. He's going to do that for us like he's done that for every soul that's ever been on this earth, generation to generation. Verse 1 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. Thank God we have a God. We have a God we can hope in. We have a God we can look to and trust in and rely on and rest in. We're not alone. We are not alone. We have our God. Verse 1 says, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. That verse has scripture references to Genesis 3 and Ecclesiastes 12. And this is what they say. You don't have to turn, but they say, Genesis says, Dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. And he said, God does that. You're in control of that. Ecclesiastes says, And the spirit, the soul, shall return to the God who gave it. Dust is going to return back to the earth, and the soul is going to go back to God who gave it. On whose authority? Moses said, yours. Yours alone. You do that. Verse 3 says, Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. 1,000 years to us are like yesterday to God. Spiritually speaking, our lifetime on this earth is 1 hour and 40 minutes. 1,000 years is like 24 hours. 500 years is like 12 hours. 250 years is like 6 hours. 125 years is like 3 hours. You keep going. Our life, in God's timing, God doesn't have timing, but if we could think of it in that way, it is 1 hour and 40 minutes. The whole life of man. And we, after God reveals himself to us and we realize our need of him, we spend the rest of our days on this earth crying, how long? That's what God's people cry, how long? How long? Look at verse 13, Psalm 90, verse 13. It says, Return, O Lord, how long? How long is it going to be? We're such children, aren't we? Just little children. You know, that's a child for you, 1 hour and 40 minutes or something. How long? Thank God we're his little children. Back in verse 4, it says, For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. It goes by so fast. Life on this earth is so fast. It is such a vapor. It's here, then it's gone. It's here, then it's gone. And we're so shocked when gone comes. We're always so shocked. There has not been a soul standing on the earth that has not gone back to the God who gave it. And every time it happens, we're shocked. What? A soul went back to God? A soul has been diagnosed as almost headed back to God? Verse 7 says, For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. That's why it's here, and then it's gone. Every man sins. That's why man's life is here and then gone. Every man sins. Therefore, every man and woman is consumed by the anger and the wrath of God. even God's people. They sin too. God's people sin too. And God consumed them in His anger and His wrath. He consumed them too. Do you know where? You know how? You know how He consumed them in His anger and in His wrath? He consumed His people in His own Son on the cross of Calvary. Isn't that relieving? God is angry with the wicked every day. You know what I am? Wicked. You know what God was toward me? Angry. You know what God did to me? He killed me. He judged me. He punished me. He condemned me. Where? In Christ His Son. God consumed. Consumed means it's gone. He consumed. Like a fire consumes something. Totally consumed. He consumed the sin of His people by placing all that sin in His own Son. Then He consumed His Son. Verse 8 says, "Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance." God the Father placed every sin that we have committed, even the secret sins that we don't know we have committed. How awful would it be if you got to the throne of glory and found out one wasn't taken care of? Oops, we missed that one. Let's see. Let's go back on the record. Like having, how have you ever had your taxes audited? I have. It's not a good feeling. Wait till God. Let's go back on the record. Let's see. Let's make sure. The sins in that day, the sins of God's people are going to be sought for. Go back through the record and see if you can find one that was missed. They shall be sought for. And guess what? There shall be none. Even the secret sins that we don't even know about. God the Father laid all of them on Christ. And then He poured out His wrath on Jesus Christ, our Savior. Verse 9 says, "For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath." Thank God. All of our sinful days have been put away and dealt with and covered in the blood of our Savior. Verse 9 goes on to say, "We spend our years as a tale that is told." I have spent my years as a tale that's told. You have spent your years as a tale that is told. And for all of God's people, it's the same tale. I was nothing but a sinner against God. That's all I was. But in Christ, He loved me. And in Christ, He chose me. Why me? In Christ, He redeemed me. In Christ, He called me, and in Christ, He's going to carry me home. When that blessed time comes, when my numbers get down to zero, He's going to carry me home. It's not going to be much longer, and He'll carry me home. That's all of our story. Verse 10 says, "The days of our years are 70 years. 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." The thing to focus on and really take note of right there is, it is soon cut off and we fly away. Spiritually speaking, okay, if 1,000 years is 24 hours, for some they're going to be here, spiritually speaking, 1 hour and 40 minutes. Some may go to 1 hour and 55 minutes. For some, it may be only 1 hour and 5 minutes. Not much difference. All of us, very soon, though, will be cut off from this place. And we will fly away. Verse 11 says, "Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." Outside of Christ, The fear of that anger and that wrath is yet to come. Outside of Christ, men and women are going to know the power of his anger. Man thinks he understands the power of God's anger against sin, but he doesn't. Who knows the power of his anger against sin? Our Savior does. Every soul in Christ, that wrath is already over. That anger is already over. That fear is already over. In Christ, all that's left is this: fear not. In Christ, that's all that's left. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. Verse 12, he said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That means come to. Apply our hearts means come to Christ. Teach us to number our days that we may come to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says, return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. That particular word repent means comfort, console. Send comfort. Let comfort come from you. Lord, console us till you return for us. Verse 14 says, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all thy days. Satisfy us early. This was his prayer. This is our prayer. Satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. It doesn't matter whether he calls us to himself and calls us to a knowledge of his mercy toward us on the last day that we're on this earth, like the thief on the cross. Our Lord revealed himself and revealed mercy to him on his last day. It doesn't matter if it's on the last day or if it's on the first day, like John the Baptist. It doesn't matter either way. Has no difference either way. The same result either way. Mercy in his blood means eternity with him either way. But the earlier in life that it is, the longer we have to rejoice and be glad in it. The earlier in life, he said in verse 14, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. Make us glad in spite of everything that we see in ourselves. Make us glad. Let us see your mercy. The mercy that covers everything that we see right here. The mercy that covers all of this sin. Let us see the grace that has led us and kept us all the way. Verse 16, he said, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Let your goodness be upon us, and please let it be upon our children. Our children are going to go meet God too. Doesn't matter how old they are. Doesn't matter how young they are. Let it be on us. Let it be on our children. Reveal yourself to us. Reveal yourself to our children. Let us see your glory. Let them see your glory. God, be merciful to us. Verse 17, he said, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. That is truly a beautiful line. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let us see it. Let us enter into it. Because of our substitution with Christ, let us come before you wearing it. Let us wear the very righteousness of his own beauty. Let us be covered in his beauty. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work. Who establishes the work? Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. That means, would you work in us to will and do of your good pleasure? Whatever works are going to be applied to us, would you establish them? Would you do them? Would you let Christ's work be on us? Would you let Christ's work be given to our account, applied to our account? Our works were charged to Him. Would you please let His works be charged to us? Now, I am very serious in this moment. I'm very, very serious. Let's ask the Lord. There are, generally speaking, we forget to pray. And when we do pray, we don't know what to pray for. And we struggle, and we pray the same things over and over again. And our Lord said, you have not because you ask not. Let's ask the Lord to teach us to number our days. Honestly. Let's ask the Lord if He will allow us to spend the rest of our days on this earth truly applying our hearts to Him. Truly applying our hearts to Him. As though our numbers were almost done. The higher the age and the day, the count up is the countdown. And let's ask Him honestly, Lord, would you keep me? Would you keep me fervently interested in Christ and fervently interested in the gospel and fervently interested in worship? And don't let me veer off to who knows where. That could be my day. Let me be found sitting at your feet, listening to your voice. Let me be Mary Magdalene. Please, please do this for me. Once He calls us home to Him, there will be no more numbers. There'll be no more numbers. Once our time is up here, there will be no more time. No more time. Brother Scott Richardson was a precious, precious preacher of the gospel. He preached for, 60-something years. And when my dad went to Fairmont and took over for him, Scott was still alive for 8 years. And Dad had him not only preach as often as Scott would, but every Sunday morning, Scott read Scripture and made whatever comments he felt led to make. And that precious man, I would go up there and watch him, and it would take him forever to get from the pew to the pulpit, and he would get up and just slump on that pulpit. But everything he had to say, just you hung on his every word. Here was a man who had been in the truth and been taught and been aged. But one of the things he said one time was he was reading a scripture in that day when it's time to go to glory, and his comment was, in that day there's going to be no more sin. There's going to be no more sorrow. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more tears. And he said, there's going to be no more birthdays. No more numbers. Nothing else is going to change. There's no more countdown. No more countdown to death. There's no more death. That's over. It's just going to be eternal life with Christ. Lord, teach us to number our days to that moment. Honestly. Teach us to look forward to and rejoice in that moment for the glory that's waiting for us with Christ. We hear of God taking His people, and we think, poor soul. We can't help it. That's what we think. And then when God's Spirit teaches us something for a little moment, oh yeah, glory is waiting for Him. Glory is waiting for her. Glory is waiting for us. That's wisdom. That is wisdom. Teach us to apply our hearts to wisdom. May the Lord apply our hearts to that, honestly. All right, let's all stand together.